This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show. And here is Mark.
So I'm sitting here in the last quarter of 2024, and I'm looking at the self-storage industry, and I see some exciting things about it, and I see some risk. And I'm jotting down the pros and the cons, the rewards, the risk, so I can make decisions for myself over the next few years and the people I work with. And as I was writing this down, I realized this is an episode. So let's talk about the five things I see that are good about the self-storage industry and the five risks I see on the immediate horizon sitting here, quarter four, 2024. My name is Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer small investors who want to get in the self-storage business. This training is both free and paid for, and you can find everything from how to raise funds for your self-storage deals, how to build your first self-storage facility, all the way to the on-demand quick start self-storage boot camp. So before I go into the risk of what I see on the immediate horizon in the self-storage space, let's talk about the five strengths that I see for self-storage. First of all, and this has been this way for a long, long time, self-storage does good in both economic good times and economic bad times. Now, given the nature of our business, the fact that mostly we're a consumer business, a B2C business, and consumers need our product when something changes in their life, that's one of the main drivers of the demand for self-storage. Both economic good times and economic challenging times create demand for our product. COVID created demand for self-storage. Recessionary times creates demand for self-storage. We do things a little different in how we run them, but it creates demand. During the worst economy since recession of the 1930s, the worst economy since then was the 08 recession. Self-storage did dip slightly, but compared to other asset classes like office, retail, even apartments, self-storage did phenomenally. That's why there's so much money chasing it today. But that's one of the real strengths of this asset class. It's resilient in good and challenging economic times. The next strength I see, number two, is our rental rates are not locked in for a long time. Now, coming from a real estate background, we're negotiating leases all the time on industrial, retail, office, even apartments. You're locking your rent in for a time period. With self-storage, we're basically month to month on our contracts with our customers. And we can raise the rent as we, as owners, see fit. Yes, we got to keep our eye on what our competitors are doing, and we can't raise it. If the market's, $12 a foot, I can't go in at 20 a foot just because I feel like it. But we can raise our rents and adjust them up or down based on what we decide as owners is the best route to go. From 2013 to 2019 or 20, inflation was running 2.5%. In our two portfolios that I was involved with, my average yearly rental increase was 6%. I didn't see that in flex space. I didn't see that in industrial. Didn't see that in retail. Real strength. We can adjust our rents, and they're not locked in for a long term. Another strength I see for self-storage is demand for our product is going up. Self-storage is becoming a known quantity. It's a known product now. It's not like it was 10, 15 years ago. Various sources give various numbers, but from what I can piece together, it looks like about 1 in 5 people in the U.S. rent a self-storage unit. What if over the next 5 years or so that went to 2 or 1.75? And our population is growing at about 0.04% a year. So my calculations are anywhere near correct just on that growth of our population. Over the next few years, couple years, that's going to create 220 million square feet more of demand for our product. So I see demand for our product not going down, but going up. The next strength I see, now this might sound counterintuitive, especially if you're in the business, but one of the strengths I see is our operational costs are relatively low, at least compared to other asset classes. Our operational costs are low. You can run institutional grade self-storage at maybe on the low end, 30 to 33% of your income goes towards operating expenses, up to 40 to 42 or 43%. Depending on how you run it and how many employees you have. That's good. Now, this is stabilized self-storage, but that's a good. It allows for enough money for debt service and the few capital reserves that we have. Now, I know taxes are going up. I know insurance is going up. I know marketing's going up. As technology becomes more available in different aspects of our self-storage operations, that's going to help us as owners keep our operational costs low. In 2013, I was averaging $250,000 of gross income per full-time employee. In 2019, I was averaging $348,000 of gross income per full-time employee. And what had happened is technology had helped close that gap. We were able to market online during certain times of the months when we saw that that's when we were getting more hits and making more rentals. We were able to adjust our payroll and employee use based on when we saw move-ins and actual need for employees there. And the real boost to our overall returns, not to mention the lower risk for self-storage, is the fact that our capital, ongoing capital expense numbers are very low. So I see that as a real, our lower operational cost relative to other asset classes and our lower ongoing capital expense costs is a real strength as we move into 2025. And another strength I see, at least for myself and the people I'm working with, is the boat and RV niche is in its early stages of development. It occurs to me like it's where self-storage was in, let's say, the 1980s or the 1990s. It's a niche that's defining itself. From what I can tell, each year, just in the RV sector alone, about 20% more potential demand is being manufactured and sold in the RV industry than what's out there in nice kind of class A, what I might call institutional grade boat and RV self-storage or boat and RV storage. Most of the new vehicles being manufactured yearly are going to have some place to go park because HOAs are very restrictive on allowing RVs to be parked in neighborhoods. If we look at this industry in terms of a human lifespan, I would say self-storage is an adult. I would say the boat and RV industry, we're not infants maybe, but we're toddlers. So it's, I have the experience of really helping define what this segment, this niche in the storage business is going to be. Mark my words, REITs will soon be in the boat and RV business, and or new REITs are going to be formed specifically for Class A boat and RV. I see that as a real positive light going out over the next 5 years or so in our industry. But no business is not without risk. And we often don't talk about the risk, but let's talk about them. As I'm looking into the horizon sitting here in the fourth quarter of 2024, here's what I see some of the risks are. Many markets and many trade areas are overbuilt with self-storage today. And we all know, and we've all seen, you don't even have to be in a storage space to see the huge amount of development that has occurred in the past 8 years in the self-storage space. Many of these projects were fee-driven rather than return-driven. So that's why you see so many large new projects in so many of our markets. As a smaller investor, we've got to be very careful about our location and where we go. It also expands the market area where we've got to look as small investors to actually do deals. And this can be problematic for many small investors. I've seen this where you've got to go outside your state, go quite a ways to find deals that work, and there just hasn't been enough thought or understanding to factor in what's involved in running, particularly construction projects, development projects, and management of an asset out of state. I'm not saying don't do it, just you've got to have a good team in place to take on some of these projects because our market area has got to increase so much. Because given the amount of overbuilding in many of the markets that we would actually like to be in. Just be aware of this. This is a risk I see. Factor it in as you're analyzing and underwriting your self-storage opportunities. Another risk that I see in the next few years is the continued high cost of development. As small investors, it's hard for us to buy an existing self-storage facility and get any kind of return, so we're always doing value add, and value add is usually construction, more space. So we're either developing or we're adding more space, and with development costs being what they are today, it can be quite challenging to underwrite. Literally, in the last 6 months, I was getting bids for GCs double what we were paying for the exact same product in 2016, 2017 to build. That's one of the reasons I helped form Resolve, a construction company geared towards the smaller investor. And I helped found it, A, to solve my own problems, because banks in the old days, I could self-GC the deals and build them at 50, 55 bucks a foot. I was getting bids at 120 a foot for the same product I was building for $55 a foot a few years ago, but I had to have a GC. So we formed a company, but even with that company, my costs now are at least 25 to 30% higher than it was. So I don't see that cost going down. We still have steel tariffs in place. No matter who gets elected in November, I don't see these tariffs going away. So I see our development costs staying relatively high over the next few years. Factor that in as a risk when you're analyzing your deals. We're doing deals. We're just doing fewer of them. The third risk I see is the spread between cap rates and interest rates are still very slim. Now, in a perfect world, and for the first 30 years of my real estate career, we could usually see a 2 to 3%, 2.5% spread between cap rates and interest rates. My experience is that's what you really need. If you're buying an existing asset, your going in cap rate needs to be at 2.5% higher than your interest rate. It's been a long time since we've seen that in the self-storage space. That's why we have to do these value-add plays. But even as interest rates have gone up and cap rates have gone up, the spread between the two has remained very narrow, which makes it such that we always have to do some value add plays, even still today in this environment of rising cap rates as small investors. The fourth, like, real risk I see is algorithmic pricing. REITs can really drive rates down in a market. Now, yes, I know that's the going in price, and those prices are going to raise. But it has a real effect when you're in a lease-up situation. It's hard to attract new customers at a higher rate than what somebody down the street might be charging at a higher rate. It also makes underwriting harder, and it especially makes the way banks underwrite our deals to give us our financing a lot more challenging. So this is, I don't see this changing in the foreseeable future. I've said in past episodes, I see state by state regulations perhaps coming in, perhaps not. I'm wrong a lot of the time. But I see this as something we've got to deal with, a real risk to us in the future. The worst case I've ever seen was one guy I was working with a few years ago in a larger market. One REIT had a dominant market share. From the time we underwrote and bought the property to the time the construction was done and lease-up started, the rates had dropped 30%. That's what can happen with algorithmic pricing. And the fifth risk I want to talk about, and it's always been there, but it's a real risk today, I think, much more than it was a few years ago, is the fact that self-storage has such a small trade area. If you're doing just straight self-storage, your trade area is 3 to 5 miles usually. Yes, it can be larger in more outlying markets or rural areas, but as a general rule, 3 to 5 miles is your trade area. Why that's a risk today is because online marketing has become so critical to us as owners getting it leased up. If you don't have a website and you're not on Google and you're not on Google above the fold, you're irrelevant as a self-storage project. Especially if you're new, coming out of the ground, you're just irrelevant. You're going to hope people see. And most of us are not trained on online marketing. I'm not, wasn't. And the real challenge is, because it's such a small trade area, there's just not a lot of clicks online. Now, Google works really great on, let's say, a national level, international level, or even a regional level where you got hundreds of thousands, millions of clicks. Google knows what to do with that data. But when your trade area is 5 miles, 4 miles, and you get 30 clicks, that's just not enough data for Google to accurately adjust your marketing. So what happens is somebody has got to be constantly monitoring it and tweaking it and changing it. And for self-storage owners, especially small 20, 30,000 square foot projects, that's just cost prohibitive to do it right. It's just cost prohibitive. So as owners, we got to kind of figure this out ourselves. Most owners aren't, and they'll just vendor it out, and they're going to get poor results. So that's one of the risks I see going into the future. As an owner, you're going to have to deal with this. Most likely, you're going to have to learn about online marketing. But those are some of the rewards and the risk I see going out into the future. Now, here's the thing. There have always been risks, and there have always been challenges. They're just different today than they were in the 90s. I hear people say, boy, I wish I'd gotten in self-storage when I first started thinking about it. Let me tell you, in 1995, it was hard getting loans on storage. Banks hated self-storage. So we've always had challenges. The challenges are what help develop us as entrepreneurs and as self-storage owners. It's the resistance that builds the muscle. So don't run and shrink from the challenges. Use the challenges to make you a better owner, operator, and a better entrepreneur if you're getting into the storage business. Those are just my thoughts sitting here in the fourth quarter of 2024. And I look forward to being with you next week and good hunting on your next self-storage deal. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is one of the financial analysis tools we use to analyze these opportunities that we've been talking about today. It's specifically designed for self-storage. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com, Storage World Analyzer tab, or go straight to storageworldanalyzer.com. I will see you next week.